Welcome to Glimpses of Calvary, and thank you for joining us. Glimpses of Calvary is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio. Join us now as our pastor, Gordon Dixon, opens the Word of God to us.
Take your Bibles and turn back to John chapter 21, and I hope that question remains very much on your mind. Can the Lord thrill me in the very same way that Mrs. Trantham sang about just a few moments ago? Can we be thrilled down to the very core of our being, down to our hearts? Can we be thrilled by the sweet fellowship and communion with Him? I believe the passage that we have before us this morning answers that very question. And I think that you and I can know a new level of deep intimacy and fellowship with the Lord. I read John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14 in your hearing just a few moments ago, but would you return with me now, and let's read verses 3 all the way down through verse 6. John chapter 21, verses 3 through 6. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered, No. He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Shall we pray together? Father, we praise you and thank you and magnify you that you are our wonderful Father and Lord. I praise you that you're the Father of glory. And I praise you that you are still our Heavenly Father, even when we are woeful failures. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we recognize in this passage that when we are out on the sea of our frustration, that Jesus is still on the shore. And Jesus is still longing to meet with us and give us instruction and make us productive and enjoy a time of sweet and wonderful fellowship with us. Father, I ask this day that you would help us, that you would show us how to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat, that you would show us how to turn from being woeful failures to people who finish well in life. Father, help every one of us to finish well, to use the words in this passage to know how to spend the rest of our time, not serving ourselves, but the rest of our time to serve you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will take the outline that's in your bulletin this morning, you will notice that as you look through it, we find here seven faithful ways for failures to finish well. Seven faithful ways for failures to finish well. But in order to understand the context of what we are looking at, we really need to go back to the previous message. So if you would hold your place there and go back with me to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Just how terrible was Peter's failure? Just how bad was it? Now, I hope that as you are even calling these words to mind, you are also calling to mind the testimony of the powerful preacher that Peter became. At Pentecost, filled with the Spirit of God, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, thousands of people trusted the Lord. And folks, it was after this terrible failure. It was after what you find here. Mark, John Mark, was used of the Lord to write the gospel. John Mark himself had been a failure, leaving Paul and Barnabas. We believe by other indications in the scripture that he spent a great deal of time with Peter, because you find the words of Peter all through the gospel of Mark, calling to account, calling various things into mind. Let's ask the question, just how bad do these two failures tell us that Peter's failure was? Well, look in Mark 17. In his denial of the Lord, in verse 70 it says, And he denied it again, And a little after, they that stood by again to said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, thy speech agrees thereto." He's saying in Mark chapter 14 and verse 70 that his own dialect betrayed him. But he said in verse 71, he began to curse and to swear. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 71, the testimony, the biblical record is that Peter began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom you speak." Now, one of the reasons that's so interesting is back just a few verses, you would find Peter expressing his loving loyalty and saying, "Lord, though all men should go away, I will die with you." And even further back in Matthew chapter 16, he began to pull the Lord aside and rebuke him for even saying that he was going to have to go and suffer. Well, folks, this is what our fleshly power will produce. It will ultimately produce terrible failures, even to the point of cursing and swearing. Remember last time as we talked about Peter, we learned that he lashed out with his sword and he ran out and he chickened out, and we went through all the outs of Peter, all the different ways that he did this. Well, here he began to curse them out. But you find in verse 72, "And the second time, the cock," referring here to a rooster. By the way, isn't it interesting that the Lord would use one of the most arrogant little creatures in all of creation to show Peter what he's really like? "Peter, here's what you're really like, Peter. And when you and I go around crowing in our rooster-like flesh, this is exactly the same kind of failures that we come to. And the Lord is very gracious to us, and he helps us realize that if we're going to be like roosters, then we're going to be ruined just like Peter was in this situation. But here is the sign of hope." And notice this in verse 72. "And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said unto him." Folks, he remembered the words of the Lord Jesus. If you were to take the whole history of Peter, you would find that verse 72 is right at the juncture of where the change begins. Up until this time, it was down and down and down. But verse 72 tells you that when he remembered the words, he remembered what Jesus had actually said, when he called it to mind, the last sentence says, "When he thought thereon, he wept." May God grant that when you and I face the same kind of failures in our lives, we also will call to mind the words of the Lord. Go forward, if you would, two chapters to Mark chapter 16. And don't forget what you find there in Mark chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. Because it's a very important and very significant for us two words that occur there. Mark chapter 16 and verse 6. "He," the angel, "said unto them, Be not affrighted," don't be afraid, "you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." Well, watch what he says in verse 7. "Go your way, tell his disciples," what are the next two words in your Bible? "And Peter." Why do you think he said, "and Peter"? I think Peter very easily could have concluded that he was no longer one of the disciples. He had lived in such a miserable fashion. He had, with cursing, denied the Lord. It would have been very easy for Peter to say, I'm no longer one of them. I've ruined all my chances." But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, "and Peter." You know what that means? That means no matter how badly you and I failed this week, no matter what we look back in our lives, our Christian lives, and we say how often we have failed, still the Lord says, "and Peter." If there's hope for Peter, there's hope for every one of us. Just as the hair of Samson began to grow again, and so many other testimonies throughout the Scripture, you see how the Lord brings failures back to the place of finishing well. Now, as you go back over to John chapter 21, we've understood then this terrible failure. We find, as we come to this occasion, that the Lord had begun to show himself after his resurrection. For instance, if you look down in verse 14 of John chapter 21, you learn there This was the third time that Jesus had showed himself to his disciples. And so there were two previous occasions before this time. Now, folks, this is what makes it even more remarkable if you'll stop to think about it. He had told the disciples and Peter to meet him at Galilee. That's where they meet him when it says in verse 1, the Sea of Tiberias. It's referring to the Sea of Galilee. It's also sometimes referred to as the Lake of Gennesaret, heart-shaped, literally, from Gennesaret. They'll refer to it as over in Israel. This place of Tiberias, of Galilee, of Gennesaret, they all met there. And it was by divine appointment. The Lord himself had said, tell his disciples and Peter that he will meet them there. That the Lord Jesus, the resurrected Lord, will meet them in that place. It's even more surprising then to stop and ask, what in the world is going on in this passage? Because when they come to this place, in verse 1, they come to this place of the Sea of Tiberias, and they're all gathered together in verse 2. They tell you who's there. What happens in verse 3? Simon Peter said to them, I go a-fishing. Do you remember what occupation Peter had before he became a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? He was a fisherman. And the Lord said, behold, from now on you will catch men. You will be a fisher of men. The Lord had, with Peter and many of the other disciples, told them what their future was like. He had already shown them the ministry they were going to have. You and I today can look at this, and even though we failed, we can, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, we can be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, by the way, in spite of our failures, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what you see laid out before you in this passage. Now, we talked in this morning's message about the fact that we're going to look for seven faithful ways for failures to finish well. Seven faithful ways for failures to finish well. So no matter how badly you think that you have failed today, you and I have to recognize something. There is power in the blood, as the choir sang a few moments ago. And even more appropriately from this passage, there is power in the resurrection. You see, what we are going to discover in this passage today is the implications, the applications of what it means that Jesus Christ rose bodily from the grave. When you and I understand that Jesus, Joshua, literally, Jehovah is salvation, Jesus means deliverer. When we understand what it means to say that Jesus, Jehovah God, Yahweh, he not only died, but also rose again, showing us his victory over physical death, so that every single person in this room would understand how to have the victory over eternal death. You say, Pastor, what is eternal death? Eternal death, as it is explained in two passages of Scripture, eternal death is eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. Ladies and gentlemen, you see that Jesus Christ rose bodily. He died on a cruel cross, and he rose bodily from the grave to assure you that he could deliver you from eternal death. He can also deliver you from your earthly failures.
Thank you for joining us for Glimpses of Calvary. This is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, 2000 Broad Avenue in Findlay, Ohio, 45840. That address again is 2000 Broad Avenue, Findlay, Ohio, 45840. Please join us again each weekday at this same time as we look for Glimpses of Calvary.